Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'm going to complete this week's programs, continuing to focus on the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Those two things go together. The reality of Jesus in glory at the right hand of God the Father in heaven, and the Holy Spirit is the one who manifests and shows forth the glory of Christ to us. The Holy Spirit is the one given to us, who's the promise of the Father, who's really the glory of God. The glory of God comes upon us in the person of the Holy Spirit, and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwell in us together in our hearts and make us a temple of God. And so one of the last few days, I've been just going through some New Testament passages where you can see how often St. Paul and others speak about the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, how important it is, and Paul ties it directly to the preaching of the gospel. He said the good news about Jesus, by preaching and proclaiming who Jesus is, that's how people come in contact with the glory of the Lord. They are able to confess and see that he is indeed the Lord. So Paul said he would preach Jesus Christ as Lord, and when he preached that, he said the Holy Spirit would shed his light into the heart of the person who heard it, whose heart was open, who was ready, and they would see in their being, they would know. They would see the glory of God that shines on the face of Jesus. And that's a part, that's the church's ministry. That's what the church exists to do, to bring people into contact and to reveal the glory and majesty of Jesus. So left off yesterday, just about got to a passage here from Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Paul says, we're awaiting our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I might actually finished it with it yesterday, but let's begin this program with it. So he said, what is our blessed hope? What is the thing we look forward to with great confidence and trust, the confident expectation that what we're looking toward is real and it's going to happen? We're already experiencing it in some way. That's what gives us the confidence and the conviction of hope, because we already begin to grasp the glory and majesty of Jesus. But he said, we're awaiting the blessed hope that is the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming again in glory. We say it every Sunday. We say the creed, the Nicene Creed. He's coming again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. This glorified Jesus, this one is the King of glory, Scripture said. He's the Lord of glory. He's the King of the kingdom. All authority belongs to him. Ultimate judgment over everything belongs to Jesus. Being rightly ordered and aligned with Jesus, living with him, saying yes to him, repenting of our sins, coming into relationship with him in baptism, walking with him in his church, in his body, living his life, living his mission. This is what it's all about. This is what the church is all about. This is what the goal of human history is all about, is for human beings to come into Christ, to live in his promises, to trust in him with all our lives, to follow his leadership, and to belong to him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. Through him you have confidence in God. That's another way of saying hope. You have confidence in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory. He was raised from the dead, and God gave him glory, the full glory of the Father, so that your faith and hope are now in God. Your faith and hope are now in God, in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4:14. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. This is a good passage. I know I've mentioned it on the program a variety of times over the last few years. These kinds of words from the apostles are particularly important as the culture gets more hostile to the story of God, gets more hostile to the commands of God and the church's life and mission, and is pushing back more aggressively. There's a new religion that's being enthroned, really. There's a new set of values, new commandments, new whatever is being enthroned, and it's competing against the story that was here. That's the story of God, the story of the life of Christ, and the story that was present throughout the country. Not every single person believed it, of course, but it clearly informed the whole project of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and things like that. But there's a new set here now. There's a new worldview, and it rejects and it finds God offensive, God's definition of reality, God's commandments, you know, the purpose of God. Ultimately, it's the resisting of Jesus' authority. It's the kings of the earth that are setting themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. But here, Peter makes it clear, don't ever be afraid of standing up for Christ. Don't miss the opportunity. Don't miss a good trial that's coming. There's so many graces and blessings in the trials that come for the sake of our Lord. Don't run from them. Don't hide from them. Don't be so polite that you never open your mouth or never take a stand. That's what the world's going to try to do, to say the cost of you standing, the cost of you acknowledging the authority and the glory of the Lord and to speaking his truth about reality is going to be high. It's going to keep getting higher. And this is a pruning process, brothers and sisters. It's a way in which God is pruning the church. And really what that means is, you know, there's a passage in the Gospels where Jesus said, you know, the Father's the vine dresser, and Jesus is the vine, and we're the branches. Any branch that does not bear fruit gets cut off. The dead ones get cut off and thrown away. Others get pruned to keep growing. Two different principles operating there. And what's happening is that God is giving human beings a chance, those who are baptized into him, to stand with him. And are you going to be who he's made you to be? Are you going to live his life? Are you going to stand for him? He said, if you acknowledge me before men, I'll acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. If you don't acknowledge me before men, I'm not going to know you. You didn't acknowledge me. I'm not going to acknowledge you on the last day. He said, he makes it very clear that that's the case. And we're in a moment of testing and of trial and of purification. Jesus, in this trial, is purifying us of inordinate attachments to worldly things, to idols, to opinion of men, to the pleasures of this world that we don't want to give up, to finding our security and our identity in things in this world. And disciples, Jesus wants, out of his love, he wants to prune us and purify us and take those things out of us. And sometimes we do it willingly, sometimes we don't. And he needs to allow us severe mercy to come on his bride, his church, so that she can be purified, not only for her own sake, but for the sake of the salvation of the world. Because it's only a church that has been purified of sin, that has been radically set on fire with love for Christ and his church and his plan and his desire for the salvation of the world. People who are living the love of God, living with the Lord, living with one another, and living for others in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. That's what the world needs to see. And Jesus is concerned. He's not mostly concerned about, you know, Wall Street or Hollywood or Vegas or whatever that people are so preoccupied by. Jesus is after the salvation of souls. Jesus is after human beings, of rescuing and seeking and saving the lost. That's his passion. And that's meant to be the passion of the church. And the church can get kind of fat and lazy and worldly and slothful. And completely, you know, she gets lukewarm and her light goes dim and her salt goes flat. And Jesus said, when that happens, we're no good to him because the glory of the Lord doesn't shine through him. And we're not living in the flow of the Holy Spirit as Jesus described it so beautifully, that rivers of living water will flow through you, that the love of God, the mercy of God, the power of the Holy Spirit will flow through us. That's what Jesus has come to do. He said he'd come to cast fire on the earth. That's another image of the Holy Spirit. I've come to cast fire on the earth. Would that it were already ablaze in us. As Pope Paul VI said, another way of putting it, the church needs to live in her perennial Pentecost. The reality of that in kingdom encounter when the majestic, glorious Lord pours forth the Holy Spirit for the salvation of the world. So that it's how the church is birthed, and through the church then, throughout time, until he comes again, we're meant to be the conduit and the flow of that life to save human beings all over the world. It's a flow of love. It's the fire of God's love. But it only flows through a church that's living in the fire of God's love. So again, Peter says so beautifully, remember, if you're reproached for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. He's just echoing there what Jesus said in the Beatitudes, the last Beatitude. He said, if you're persecuted for my sake, he said, jump for joy. You're blessed to be able to experience what Jesus experienced for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of his name. And remember, friends, When Jesus was on the cross, what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Now, when we commit sin, on one level, we know what we're doing. Or people who are resisting God, at some level, they know what they're doing. But they really don't know at a whole nother level. It's completely insane to oppose the holy God. It's a total fruitless action. And it's completely self-destructive. It will never lead to a good end. A person can pound their chest and boast and raise their fist at God. But it's crazy to God who holds us in being, who literally we can't have one breath without his help. We're shaking our fist at him and we're declaring our independence of him and we're judging his way, his rule, his economy, his plan, his kingdom as offensive. And we don't want it because we're cleansing the world, not him. In our utopia, we're fixing everything and he doesn't measure up. And so we're going to get rid of him. Or we're going to get rid of the God of the Bible. That's what people want to get rid of. They're going to make up their own God and call it a God. But what they don't want is Jesus Christ the Lord. They may want Jesus the butler, Jesus the one who basically serves every one of our interests and salutes all the decisions that we make for our own lives as we craft and attempt to recreate reality. The contemporary God is one who cheers us on and affirms us and gives us trophies for all the decisions that we're making, whether they offend the true God or not. It's the emptying of Jesus and his lordship. And when you do that, the human mind, when it decides to go its own way and create a false Christ, a self-centered Christ, I'm the Christ, I'm the center of all things, your mind gets darkened, becomes senseless. We become foolish. And we choke off the work of the Holy Spirit present in our lives. Here's another passage from St. Peter, 1 Peter 5:1. A fellow elder and a witness, he's calling himself a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker of in the glory that is to be revealed. Peter knows who he is. That's why Peter wasn't afraid to die ultimately. He was at one time, remember? Holy Thursday, I mentioned it earlier in the week, when he decided to follow Jesus at a distance because it was getting scary. He could be harmed, could be killed. So he distanced himself from the Lord. That's what goes on, the same dynamic goes on now. That's the fallen human heart, friends. Why are people leaving the church? Well, for some reasons, they're scandalized, but it's foolish. You don't know the church. You don't understand the church if you're leaving because there's sinners in the church. There's no other place to go for salvation and life. Church should be disciplined and is being disciplined by God for what her sins are being exposed and being disciplined for her sin to be purified. And it's shameful. That's all very true. That's all very true. But it's in the church that we encounter Christ. It's the body of Christ. And Peter's words here are so beautiful. He's confident that he's a partaker in the glory that's to be revealed when Jesus comes again. We have to be found in Christ to share in that glory. So leaving the church isn't the way. Helping solve the problems within is the way. But living faithful and radically as his disciple, surrender to him and being a light, that's the way forward. God bless you, friends. Have a great and blessed weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.